Blog Talk Radio.
They call me Mr. Motivator, and that's my stage name. I also perform not only motivational speaking, but I also perform stand-up comedy. And I'm looking at all of you guys today, and I want to say to you, there are just one. You see, so many of us have a lot inside of us, but for some.
Welcome, everyone. You just tuned in to the Mr. Motivator Show. I'm your host, Dwight Jeffrey, reminding you that success is yours. If you dare to dream and keep thinking big, you will discover your purpose in life. We have a great broadcast lined up for you today, and you are really going to enjoy it. Now, what I say to everyone, especially if you this is your first time tuning in to the broadcast and to our regular listeners, put down that piece of chicken and that potato salad because it's time for you to get some motivation and some inspiration. If you want to find out what's going on with Mr. Motivator, what I'm doing, where I'm performing at, or what shows we have lined up, you can go to my blog, which is dwightjeffrey.blogspot.com. That's dwightjeffrey.blogspot.com. You can also follow me on Twitter, and that is at C Mr. Motivator. The letter C as in cow, MRMOTIVATOR. And if you have an email request, please feel free to email us at cthemotivator@yahoo.com. The letter C as in cow, THEMOTIVATOR. And if you're busy, you're on the highway, you want to tune in and join us on a live broadcast, you can reach us by dialing area code 323-580-5712. Fishing for Money. That's our show today, folks. We are going to cover opportunities. We're going to cover dealing with your situation and changing your mindset so that you can launch out into the deep and cast your hook. Create opportunities. Visualize and see what it is that you need to do and make that happen for you. Folks, it gives me great pleasure to welcome our guest to you today. Folks, our guest, not only is he just a man with vision, he's an entrepreneur, he's a businessman, he's a father, he's a husband, and most of all, he is motivated. Folks, I want to welcome our guest today, a friend of Mr. Motivator. We're going to welcome Ray Scott. Welcome, Brother Scott. How you doing today?
I'm great, Mr. Motivator. I just want to thank you for that wonderful introduction, and I just want you to know that you have been an inspiration in my life. As far as the things that you credited me with, I want you to know that you play a big part in the development of that and to keep me going. And today I just want to share with you, to others, the success that we've had between the two of us and kind of encourage them and let them know how we do what we do.
Oh, awesome. And also, I cannot go far into the broadcast. I see you brought your lovely wife with you here to the studio, and could you let her say hello to our audience?
Oh, absolutely. You know, the saying is that behind every good man there's a good woman, and I just want you to know that that's a true testimony, and the good woman behind me, her name is Teresa Scott, and the things I do I wouldn't be able to do without her.
Say hello, baby.
How you doing?
Well, hey, we're doing great, Miss Scott, and it's just awesome to have you here in the studio with us. And your husband is just a phenomenal guy, and for to see his success and to see the wealth that he's been blessed with, and to know you're the lady that helped him get to the top. And I don't care what nobody says. It's behind every successful men. There's a good woman. And from my personal experiences over the years and meeting a lot of successful people, the ones that I've met who are successful, they have dynamic wives. And so thank you for being here at the studio with us today. Okay, the first thing I want to ask you, now, could you tell us a little bit, Ray Scott, about your background and were you business-minded when you were in grade school, or did a teacher notice that entrepreneurial spark? Tell us about your background, what kind of kid you were, and a little bit about your education.
Well, I started young with the desire to, first of all, have money in my pocket. I realized that money is one of the things that, you know, that turns the world, you know, and growing up, there were several things that, you know, I wanted personally and to acquire, and I realized that it took money to acquire those things. And I've always felt really good, and I think this is something that's really important when you talk about being an entrepreneur or having a business. You have to like people. You have to have a true interest in people, because of course that's who you're going to be serving. That's who's going to generate your income. You know, and growing up, I was blessed enough to have the type of personality where I've met few strangers and I enjoyed interacting with people. And again, with the desire to have money in my pocket, it was just a natural fit to go into management in some ways. So I went to school and I took some business courses. My major was business in college, and I did achieve a two-year associate's degree. But then I got out of that and I jumped right into retail management. And with that, jumping into retail management, I learned a lot of things, you know, because I managed million-dollar businesses for other people, you know. And one day I just kind of woke up and I said, you know what, I'm doing such a great job making money for these other people. You know, I ran some pretty successful businesses, McDonald's and Burger King and some other places. Yeah. And I'm like, I can be successful making millions of dollars for these other people. Why not try to put that energy, that expertise, and that knowledge into something that's going to put some money in my pocket?
Wow. Now, before we go a little bit further into you sharing with us how to fish for money, okay, tell me something. What type of individual does it take to work at McDonald's and what was the other place?
Burger King
and Pizza Hut? Now, I know it's not easy to handle those functions. So tell me, what type of individual does it require? Do they take in just to be able to service those places for them?
Well, in management, they teach you, or actually what management is it's the ability to get things done through others.
Yeah.
And so what you need to do is, it's not a particular kind of individual that's going to be successful, but there are certain qualities that you definitely want to have.
Okay.
But what you need to do is be able to recognize what the motivation is in each individual.
Okay.
Sometimes it's simply money. You know, you got people working at McDonald's simply because they want to make some money. They want to have money in their pocket.
Yeah.
Then you have other individuals who have a sense of belonging to a group and want to feel like they're contributing.
Yeah.
And that's their motivation.
Okay.
Some people, it's career. Some people come in, work in the cash register, and it's their desire to at some point to be a manager.
Yeah.
So that's their motivation.
Yeah.
So when you look at a company such as McDonald's or those other corporations, the components are people with different drives and aspirations, and you just put them together to create something that's workable.
Wow, I see. Now, tell me about the people who started McDonald's. I know you have some great insight. Tell me what you think about Ray Kroc and some of these guys, and what type of individuals were they, and what do you notice about them that is similar to you and other people looking for opportunities?
Well, you know, the first thing is, you know, they are people with creativity. You know, it, you know, you have to have a sense of creativity, and you know that along with being able to recognize and take advantage of opportunities. You know, a lot of the things that have been successful are because, first of all, there's a need for it. Without a need, then it's not going to be successful.
Mm-hmm.
You have to establish the fact that there is a need in the general public for it.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, for instance, there was a guy back in the 1920s who he was a car salesman, and he was working for a car, selling cars for a time period, and he was pretty successful. And at one point, he bought 20 used Model T Fords,
mm-hmm.
and he left the job as a car salesman, and with these 20 Model T Fords, he rented them out.
Mm-hmm.
And in a couple of years' time, he had a fleet of like 565 models to 565 vehicles.
Yeah.
Later on, a guy in Chicago who owned a yellow cab company, mm-hmm. recognized what this young man was doing, and he approached him, and he was like, "You know what? That's a good idea. Would you like to sell your business?" And he did. And the man's name that approached him to buy the company, his name was John. John Hertz.
Wow.
So now we're talking about the Hertz Corporation and car rentals. So, you know, opportunity, a public need, you know, creativity, you know, you combine those things, and that's the making for a successful business.
Wow, that is incredible. Could you tell us what do you think is the driving force behind people that want to start businesses that are going to touch a lot of people?
You know, again, that's, you know, it's an individual thing, because sometimes it's just the desire to live a particular lifestyle, you know, and that's a driving force to have somebody create a business so that they can have a particular income. Sometimes, you know, you may really be a people person and have a need to touch people and to assist and help people and provide something that people need. You know, the ideal thing would be a combination of these things that we're talking about, because it can, you know, it'll touch the public in various ways.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, it's an individual thing, and you know, it depends on what the desire or what it is that you desire to accomplish. You know.
Yeah, you are right. It does. It takes a lot of desire, and people have different desires and motivations that get them rolling. Now, do you think that an individual should research and make preparation and make sure that they have their business plan where it encompasses every aspect that they want to achieve? What do you feel that a person needs to where should they have their mindset at when they're getting ready to get a business or get something started?
Well, you know, like anything in life, it's always great to have your ducks in a row, you know, to have everything well prepared, thought out, and anticipate, you know, different things that may occur.
Mm-hmm.
But as an entrepreneur myself, I wouldn't wait on those things to line up, because sometimes you have to make things happen. You have to create situations. You know, it would be ideal if you could walk into a situation and everything is just lined up and you go from A to B to C to D without any obstacles or things of that nature. But those things are going to occur. So you just, to the best of your ability, have everything prepared properly, but then also you anticipate those little things that are going to cause some conflict, and you have to have perseverance. I mean, that's, you know, regardless of what the business is or whether it's going to be large, small, starting out, or whatever the case is, you have to have perseverance, because there are going to be obstacles that are going to prevent you from just a smooth transition. That's even someone experienced or non-experienced. I mean, because those intangible things that I'm speaking of, you know, they don't just target people with inexperienced. You know, even a very experienced person can encounter those type of things.
Wow. You made some good points. And I was thinking of looking at the fact that you are an experienced businessman and you're very diverse. Could you tell everybody some of them? I know you grew up here in Dallas, but could you share with us some other cities that you lived in and you were able to work with other business people and understand the environments and how all that comes into focus?
Oh, absolutely. I think you know, experience in life is definitely something that you can't buy it. You know, it's something that you have to go through. And I was fortunate enough in growing up to live in several parts of the country. I lived in New York City growing up, and I got a real exposure to different cultures, and that only lends to the ability to create things that are will be widely accepted. It's not targeted to just one particular sector. I lived in California. That was a total different environment. And of course, you know, being from Dallas, Texas, that's, you know, that you can't compare that to anywhere. So I think, you know, being able to experience the different cultures and different climates and just different situations just adds to, you know, your repertoire of what you have available to present to the public.
Wow. And I think your life is very interesting, and the exposure that you had around business people at an early age, and also entrepreneurs and entertainers. Now, if I understand correctly, would you tell us a little bit about your mom and some of your mom's friends that we may not even think about? You had the opportunity to maybe eat dinner with those people. And so could you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, again, you know, my exposure when I was coming up, and you mentioned my mom, I really have to give her all the credit, because she was in tune with the fact that even back then when I was growing up, and this was, you know, I was born in the 50s, but you know, in growing up, she was in tune with the fact that exposure to particular things would do nothing but enhance my growth and you know, as an individual, first of all. And then, you know, as that grew, then my opportunities grew as well. Now, growing up, I was around a lot of people that, you know, some people may say are famous or stars or whatever term they want to give them, you know. But with them being around and the way that they were, I never looked at them like that. You know, they were aunt this or uncle this or my mom's friend or something like that. You know, the one name that comes to mind, and a lot of people like, wow, is Aretha Franklin. And, you know, I was blessed to be able to be in her presence quite often and, you know, have dinner with her and those kind of things. But the thing about it is, you know, a lot of people may not realize that the people that you consider stars or whatever, you know, whatever accolades you give them, they are people as well, you know, and they like to sit on the couch and watch TV and, yeah, and you know, those kind of things. But also they instill in you the desire to achieve. You know, you see what they've done and how they've accomplished, and sometimes you get little insights from them, and you realize this is doable, you know, because taken away from what they've accomplished, you break them down and they're people just like you are, except they've done some things, mm-hmm, you know, and just by being around those people and growing up, I saw that those things are very doable, you know, to very average people, and just gave me incentive to do some of those things myself.
Wow, that's incredible. And when you mentioned Aretha Franklin, you know, she is my favorite. I mean, I can play her music now. It just, when she hits those notes, it just, I get chill bumps. But tell me, was Aretha a good cook? Tell me about her cooking.
Well, you know, the one thing that I really, really remember, and it was one of my favorites, is her fried chicken. you know, believe it or not. I see her in the kitchen now, and she's got her shoes kicked off and something very comfortable and stuff, and she's in the kitchen and she's throwing down. She's a fried chicken, you know. She's got, believe it or not, she really enjoys her music too. A lot of people don't enjoy their own music, because I've been exposed to some other people and they just, you know, they don't listen to a lot of their own music. But she does, and she listens to her music and sings, and she's really her character is so genuine and so just down to earth. It's unbelievable.
Wow. And, you know, and I heard that Patti LaBelle is a great cook. You haven't had a chance to try none of her food yet, have you?
No, I haven't had an opportunity to even meet Patti, but my mom has, but I've never been in her presence, but I've heard similar things about her as well. Yeah.
Okay, now, one thing I would like to ask you, because I know sometimes people have they get their backs up against the wall. Do you remember, Ray, there was a time where you could work hard on a job and you would get a raise, and then we would get bonuses? Okay, now it seems that that's a facade for a lot of Americans now, expecting a raise, expecting a bonus, and a lot of times, oftentimes, they're expecting a cutback, a cut in their pay. But now, when you're working a job, do you think a person should always keep their eyes open for an opportunity, or do you think they should not think about anything and just put 100% trust in the company?
Well, you know, life is a learning experience, and any time that you're doing anything in, you know, be it corporate America or whatever, you should keep your eyes open and embrace the things that you're learning to be able to apply somewhere down the line.
Okay.
You know, and of course, there's nothing wrong with self-preservation and, you know, and acquiring this knowledge so that it can uplift and boost you into another particular level. You know, so by all means, I mean, you know, there was once a time, and I think we've gone away from that in America a little bit, where there was dedication to the company and you know, the way people felt about where they worked and stuff.
Yeah.
I think a lot of the transition has come because companies have gotten away from investing into their employees in that manner, you know, making relationships with their employees. Now it's to the point where you're replaceable or you're a number or you have a particular function, you know, and so I think it's a twofold thing, and I think we really need to get back on both sides with regards to being able to put something other than punching a clock, going to work, and getting a paycheck into a job.
Wow. Man, I like where you're going on this. So tell me something. What now? There may be an individual listening to us today, and they just received a pink slip. They've been laid off or they've been fired. What do you think a person should do when that happens? Do you think they should get their pole ready to cast it out in the water and start pulling in some fish? And, you know, I heard a quote a long time ago. This man told me, he said, "Jeffrey, if you give a man a fish, you have to take care of him all the time. But," he said, "if you teach a man how to fish, he can feed himself for life, and he can eat as much as he want, and he can have his own independence." Tell me, what do you think about this?
Oh, absolutely, that's the truth. I mean, you want to create a situation where you're self-sufficient and you can provide for yourself. Dependency, be it on the government or on a particular employee, is kind of it puts you in a box. It doesn't allow you the freedom that I think that God would want you to have. You know, and some of the keys to putting yourself in a position like that is, one is, you know, you want to try to associate yourself with people who are doing things or are aspiring to do things. You know, at any time, try to associate yourself with somebody who's been there, somebody that's made some money, somebody who has a background of achievement, you know, and those things help you, you know, not only with networking, but also with insights on how to.
Mm-hmm.
That's very important, you know. So try to be, to associate yourself with people who are doing things and active and have knowledge, because that's going to help you in your well-being. And then also, you know, just don't doubt yourself. First of all, you know, because some of the weirdest things have really made successes.
Yeah.
Like, for instance, you remember a thing that they call pet rocks.
Yeah.
I mean, what is that? I mean, you go outside, you pick up a rock, and you know, but somebody thought of this idea that they were going to sell pet rocks, and pet rocks made millions of dollars.
Yeah.
You know, so you don't discount any idea that you may have. If anything, go ahead and test it and try it out, because that's what fishing is all about. You're throwing a pole into a water that you know, that you don't necessarily know that there's something there or something that's going to bite. But you're putting your faith in this idea or this thing and hoping that the end result is a fish at the end of the hook.
Yeah.
You know, pet rock was one. And then another one is that Big Mouth Billy Bass thing that used to sing and stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, that caught on like wildfire.
Uh-huh.
And it was really simple and not a lot of, you know, it didn't take a lot to do it, but it just caught on. And like I said, you just never know. Cast your line out there and see what you come up with.
Wow. I mean, you get me motivated already. Now, there are probably some federal employees crying, and they're depressed, and some of them are just totally oblivious to their situation because of the shutdown. But if you was a federal employee, and knowing you, and you was a federal employee and they shut your money down, you'd be looking at, hey, what can I do instead of sitting here crying and having tantrums because my money is frozen?
Oh, absolutely. You know, and Mr. Motivator, the first thing I have to do, you know, my sympathy and compassion goes out for those people. But first of all, the first thing is, you know, you got to put your faith in God.
Yeah.
You know, you got to know that God is going to get you through this, and it's going to work out.
Yeah.
But aside from that, because the Bible says faith without works is dead, there are some things that you need to be doing, and you should always, like I said, not put all your eggs in one basket.
Mm-hmm.
You know, don't depend on just that federal job.
Yeah.
Because as an individual, you have other talents and other things that can bless you with income. And you have to constantly keep those things out there. My mom tells me all the time, if you don't put your vessels out there, they can't be filled.
Mm-hmm.
God is waiting to fill your vessels, but you got to put the vessels out there, which means that I just can't go to my job every day and let that be my only vessel.
Yeah.
Or my only source.
Yeah.
You know, I have to try to stay creative and to do other things that may generate some kind of income. Even if it's $2 here, $3 there, $5 here, what I've just told you adds up to $9, you know, and then if I do another $2 and another $2, that's $13, you know, and if you get where I'm going is, no matter how insignificant it may seem, if you have a lot of insignificant things, it's going to add up to a large thing.
Well, I'm going to have to say amen. I haven't had nobody on the show preaching entrepreneurialism like that, but man, you're giving some good stuff out here. Now, looking at the fact that we've covered ground with the federal employees, other people who've been laid off, and you, I think you touched a nerve when you said we have to tap in to some of our talents and skills and abilities that we have. I think you hit the mark right then when you mentioned that. Now, once we tap in to those talents, those skills, those hidden abilities that we have, how do we get those poles and find us a corner or find a spot to put our little hooks out in the water and pull something in? How do we fish for that opportunity?
Well, you know, one thing is, and I'm going to use a word, and I don't like that word, and I'll explain to you why.
Mm-hmm.
It's called hobbies.
Yeah.
You know, and hobbies are things that you like things that you invest your time in, things that you do. Well, if you know, let's make that hobby. Let's turn that into some kind of business, because it's something that you enjoy doing, something that you spend a lot of time doing, and it's probably something that can create some kind of source of income for you. So that might be the place that a person might start if they're like, you know, I have no idea what I can do or what I might be able to do. Take a look at your hobbies, and you know, if you have a hobby of writing, you might be a successful writer. You might be able to turn that into income, you know. Or if you collect cards as a hobby or stamps or whatever, of course, that can generate money. Whatever your hobbies are, look at that first and see if there's an avenue for generating income, because, again, you enjoy it. It's something you're already doing, something that you have a passion for, and the combination of those two things is a potential for creating money.
Wow. That is awesome. Now, I love the way you put that. And you made it easy for an individual to understand how to take that hobby and turn it into something. I know you have several successful businesses. I know some of them are you're just getting started on the food. And I don't want to put you on the spot for you to share all of your businesses with your competitors, but could you tell us? Thank you. If you heard that noise, there was a cameraman trying to move one of the cameras away. And so sometimes it gets a little noisy in here on the set, but just bear with us, folks. But anyway, tell us about some of your businesses. I know you're involved with technology, and maybe you could let us know where you think technology is going. And if they are interested, you could give them a website that they can go to, or they can email you if they have some questions or ideas about some of the fascinating things that you're involved. So tell us a little bit about technology, and I know you have a store. I don't know if you want to discuss your store and everything, because you have a lot of patent-pending products and things that are coming into fruition. But just give us a few highlights about one or two of your businesses.
Mr. Motivator, you know I don't have a problem with shameless plugs. So let me get all of them in right now.
Okay.
But I appreciate the opportunity. But when I say this, I want you to know that I'm not being boastful. It's all a blessing for me, and I just want to be an inspiration to somebody, you know, to let them know that if even a little guy like me can do these things, it's possible for you to do it as well. And also to let you know that, as I stated before, when you have your hands in several different things, it creates opportunity to put that together and create something that may be substantial, you know. And I started with some things like with a phone service, Solarvate, which is an excellent option for a lot of people with regards to cellular phones. It creates a benefit not only for you to talk for less, but also to generate an income for you, as we're talking about entrepreneurs. So that's an excellent opportunity, something that I'm involved in. I also have a gift shop, and it's not a traditional gift shop. It's you know, the trend now is thrift stores are really, really big across the country, and I've really got some great finds in the thrift store, but one of the problems that I had was going through the stuff that was not a great find in the thrift store, you know, having to dig through the stuff to find the gems. Well, what my store does is we go out into thrift stores, garage sales, et cetera, some new vendors, and get those great finds for you and put them all in one place without having to go through a lot of the stuff that you have no desire for. So that's another entity. And then there's some great products out there that I'm trying to promote using aloe vera, which is an excellent product that has all kind of benefits for the body. I mean, you would be surprised. I know you hear about some of these other products that are do all products, and they do this and do that and do this and do that. But aloe vera is a natural product that a company I'm involved in has tapped into, and just the benefits for that are just terrific. And all of this, you know, you can contact me and get more more information, you know, contacted me at my email address, which is arrayscott@hotmail.com. And you know, I'll be happy to provide any additional information, or you know, just answer any questions in general. Actually, if you have a desire to be an entrepreneur, or you're trying to get into a particular business, or you need some starting points or whatever, you know, between me and my business partner, Mr. Motivator, we'll be more than happy to provide, because you know, we are of the belief that when God gives you or blesses you with something, it's his desire for you to give back and to bless others. So that's most important to us, above all the other things that we spoke of. You know, our biggest desire is to please God in that manner.
That's great. I like the fact that you said, you know, you have a health and nutrition line that you're in, it's awesome that you and I are working on a venture together, and so we want to help others who want to get themselves out of the circumstances of poverty, or they want to get where they have a sufficient income. So could you just give us give everybody your email one more time, so if they have an interest in technology or health and nutrition, or they're interested in your retail and dealing with products and putting them in stores, and you know, say if they want to get a thrift store or something started. So could you give everybody your email one more time in case they want to write you and get some help?
Yeah, absolutely, and not only that. If you're an entrepreneur yourself, and you know, you have a particular line and you're trying to generate some business, you know, be it candles or you know, whatever it is, and you have a desire to contact somebody like myself who may be able to help promote it or give you some exposure, by all means, contact myself or Mr. Motivator. My email address again is arrayscott@hotmail.com. And also, let me go ahead and give you a phone number, because I'll make myself available to you in that manner as well. And it's 214-854-0597. Now, I mentioned various businesses, you know, that I have my hands in at the moment, but it's all under collectively the title of AR Creations. That's the umbrella that all of these businesses fall under. And again, I encourage everyone out there to even if your path right now is successful and you have a particular comfort area that lifestyle that you live in, it doesn't ever hurt to like I said, to keep the creative juices flowing, to keep the vessels out there, you know, because it may not, I mean, you may be blessed at this point, but those things are helpful in blessing others. And again, that's one of the biggest points. You know, I find out that the bigger your desires, along with the creativity and all the other things that we spoke about, if you have a true desire to bless others, you know, God is going to find a way for you to make those things come into fruition. And so, you know, just keep that desire above all, and then the other things will fall in place.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for sharing that with us. We always look for information. We look for people that can help our viewers, help our listeners with whatever they're trying to do in life, because that's the bottom line. That's my theme for the Mr. Motivator Show. Success is yours. And if you dare to dream, and keep thinking big. Don't give up on your vision, because what you think is small or what other people think is small may end up being something that's just awesome. Now, also, Ray, could you share a little bit about, now I noticed you and your awesome wife, you guys work together as a team, and you're on one accord, and sometimes some entrepreneurs, when they start businesses, it's difficult for them to get the spouse involved. I find that some women may have a challenge getting their husband involved, or some husbands may have a challenge getting their wife involved. I'm blessed that my wife is very supportive of whatever I do, but could you, for somebody that's kind of struggling with that, could you give them some ideas on what they can do to get their spouse involved and to be supportive of what they're trying to get on off the ground?
Yeah, I'm gonna throw a small comment, and don't take this literally because it's not the case. But you make money, she's gonna get involved. You start making money, she's gonna come on board, you know. But in the lean years, what you do is you just have to be persistent and not force it upon her. Just let her come along and see your enthusiasm and your desires and a good woman, like I said, will just come on board automatically. And if she doesn't, then that's okay too, because every if that's your mission in life, you have to understand that's your vision, your mission, and ultimately you're the one that has to follow through on it and to put it in place. It's great if you have your spouse to work with you. That's just an additional blessing. But it does not mean that you will not accomplish your goals if it doesn't happen. But like I said, in most cases, and it's your approach mostly. Like I said, don't force or insist or anything like that. Let it be something that there's a desire for her to do. And you just create situations. Like, for instance, she may not be good or not even not good, but have no interest in the books or the figures of the business. But she might like coming in and decorating the place or displays or something like that. So find something that she enjoys, maybe at home or in the outside life or whatever, and incorporate that into the business and allow her to have that space in your business, because, it, again, that particular portion is going to be a blessing to the overall business.
Wow. And I like that. You gave some good pointers there, and you inspire me because, man, the way you treat your wife, there's not anything that you don't want to buy for your wife. When we're sometimes we get together and we're traveling, you're like, oh, I'm gonna go back and get that for my wife. You know, when you got a new phone, you're like, wow, I can't wait to get my wife a new phone. And so your wife's sister, Scott, she's just a beautiful lady, and she loves giving and making people smile. And I mean, I think the way she smiles, you ought to be. I think that should motivate, keep you motivated. I don't know very many sisters you can knock on the door at 7 o'clock in the morning, they smile. So that's a big asset for you. Now, what can people do? I know you mentioned about hanging around other successful people. Now, there are some people who get caught up in their own little world, and they only want to talk to members of their family, and they get so caught up that they think that they're the only ones. But let's talk to some folks now. What is it about this networking? And can you share a little bit about what people can do to understand networking and learn how to network? Because I think probably one of the reasons I think you're successful is because you have a huge network. Your network is bigger than Mr. Motivator's network. So, and you got all these friends, and you have entrepreneurs, you got business people in your umbrella, you have entertainers. But let's talk to the people who stay inside and never go out, and they want to do something, but they really don't understand what networking is. So could you explain that and tell them how to do it?
Absolutely. Networking is really simple. Mm-hmm. It's just using connections that you have acquired to accomplish certain things.
Mm-hmm.
Networking, a network doesn't have to consist of friends or family or thing like that. Uh-huh. There are people that I know that I network with that I only am in contact with them when either they need advice or something that I have to provide, or I need something that they have that, you know, I have a need for.
Mm-hmm.
And networking is just taking advantage of every situation or contact of people that you come across. Mm-hmm. Let me put this, you know, spiritual, I have to go spiritual most of the time because that's such a big part of my life. But, you know, God, I believe God does not put people in your path for no reason at all. You know, when you meet a stranger and you have an opportunity to spend time or have a few words with them or something, I believe it's God's desire for you to either impart something into them or for them to impart something into you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you just have to take advantage of those situations and see where, and there's nothing wrong with seeing how it's going to benefit you. You know, a lot of people think that that may be selfish or whatever, but it's not, especially when you give in the same way that you receive.
Mm-hmm.
So when you come across somebody and they have a particular advantage in an area or knowledge or whatever, there's nothing wrong with tapping into that and finding out how they can be a benefit or a resource for you. And that's simply what networking is, you know. But again, like I said, you can't forget that you have to give as well as take in.
Wow, you are absolutely right. Now, some people get discouraged because of haters. Have you been in a situation, even though there's something positive, there's members of your family, they got something negative to say about it. They complain about everything. There, some people get bogged down by haters. We see our president, he's in gridlock because there's nothing but haters around him. How do you deal with haters, folks who are just envious or jealous, even though you have some good ideas and you got some great insights, but because of their outrageous jealousy or their envy, how do you handle haters when they want to try to take a pin and bust your balloon every time you get started? Do you deal with the haters, or do you just try to avoid the haters? How do you handle it?
Yeah, haters are, you know, they a lot of times they're a blessing to you because, you know, you have those people put into your situation, and you know, from my perspective, now I've got to show them, you know. So it gives me more motivation, more inspiration to go further and do more of what I'm doing, you know, because I really want to show them that, you know, you're incorrect about what you're saying. And the only way to show them that is to achieve success. So, you know, and like I said, I just use them as an inspiration to go further and do more of what I'm doing, you know, especially when I know I'm correct, you know, and you don't ignore them. That would be an easy thing to do, just to ignore them, but I actually embrace them. You know, you telling me you can't do that or you won't do this or this won't do that, and I'm saying, yes, I can, yes, I can, yes, I can.
I heard. Now, you're a very positive guy. Have you always been positive? And again, I get energized anytime I hang out with you. But what do you say about people that are just negative? And even though they're not haters, but they're just negative. They just have something bad to say about everybody. They don't like nobody. They make fun of everybody. And anyone that's trying to do something, they want to try to slow them down. They may see you're trying to build something, and they'll come over your house and sit and complain. How do you deal with those kind of people?
Well, like I said earlier in the broadcast, what you do is you associate yourself with people who are going places and doing things.
Mm-hmm.
And those people that you just described don't fit that category. So those are not people I'm trying to hang out with. Now, if they happen to be family, of course, sometimes you have to entertain those folks. But that's on a different level. That's you know, you're at my table or you're in my household because you're family.
Right.
I'm not trying to hang out with you, and you're not part of that group that I've mentioned, the entrepreneurs, the go-getters, the people that are trying to do things, the positive people. Those are the people that I hang out with and I try to associate myself with. The people that you just explained, either I don't deal with them, or if I have to because of family, I'm dealing with you because you're family.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I hear you. You made a good point on that. Now, how do you feel about, Brother Menno Martin, he would drop in unexpectedly and get sandwiches out of the refrigerator. How do you handle those kind of drop-ins?
Well, the Bible says be prepared, you know. So sometimes you just have to be prepared for stuff like that, you know, and put it in perspective. You know, again, I talked about being generous and giving blessings and doing those kind of things. And every once in a while, you know, you have to recognize that that might be what God is wanting you to do. You know, but if it comes to a certain point, you know, I think Martin should have put a lock on that window and, you know, clamped it down or done something, you know, because after a while, Brother Man would have had to stop coming through my window.
Yeah, I don't know if you heard this in the news, but there was a newscast not just recently, and I think Brother Man, the guy that played Brother Man on Martin, he was arrested because they caught him broke into Snoop Doggy Dog's refrigerator. And so I guess it just goes to you have to catch up with you.
Yeah, you got to be careful if your Brother Man whose window you going through too, you know. But that's life, though. You know, you do have to be cautious about anything that you do. You know, like I said, you have to proceed with caution, and it's terrific when you're able to line up your ducks and you know, take a look at things and be aware of what obstacles are out there and things of that nature. But as in life, there are things that are going to occur that you're not prepared for, and you just have to have plan Bs, and you have to just be a thinker too. You know, you have to be able to be creative in certain situations. I think that's one of the biggest things, is your ability to be creative in situations, because a lot of times you have to do what other people are unwilling to do or just don't know how to do. You know, you have to be the one that, if you want to be successful, you have to be the one to step up and overcome those particular obstacles.
You are absolutely right. We got to be prepared to overcome obstacles, and we need to know how to reinvent ourselves. But for example, what do you think? Do you think that Flavor Flav was very creative, and did you like his style and his smile and everything?
He's not one of my favorite entertainers, but I will give him this. You mentioned his name, so he's successful. You know, if you know, whether, you know, sometimes, you know, negative publicity also gives you a particular success as well. You know, and the fact that his name is even commonplace or a name that people recognize tells you that there's some success about what he's doing. Now, whether you agree with it or whether it's to your liking or whatever, you know, that's your personal opinion. But as far as but other than that, I mean, he's doing his thing. I mean, I'm sure he's comfortable with what he's doing.
Yeah. I hear you. You're right. When people remember your name, and you've been out there for a while, that means that you've branded yourself. You've gotten yourself out there. And could you tell us a little bit about branding, and why is everybody trying to why does everybody want to brand themselves now? What's the significance behind branding?
Well, branding is something. Let's take McDonald's for instance. I mean, and they were one of they were on the forefront of this, or Coca-Cola, things like that. It's familiarity, and when you brand yourself, you know, you give the consumers a sense of, I know what I'm going to get. There's going to be no surprises. You know, whether you like a Big Mac or not, if you walk into a McDonald's and you order a Big Mac, you know what you're going to get. You're going to get 2 all-beef patties, special sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickles, onion, sesame seed buns. You know, and that's branding. You know, Coca-Cola, sometimes, you know, when I was in the restaurant industry, I would, you know, be serving a customer, and they would turn to whoever they were with and say, what kind of Coke do you want? Well, listen to that question. What kind of Coke do you want? Coke is a product. Yeah. But what they were asking is, what kind of soda would you like? But Coca-Cola is so branded that a lot of people just associated with a soft beverage with Coke, and they say, well, what kind of Coke do you like? Right. So branding is extremely important, because it just gives the public a sense of security when it comes to whatever it is that you're putting out there.
Oh, thank you. Do you like my brand? Do you like when I do my comedy shows do you like when I come out on stage with my hat? And they say, ladies and gentlemen, this is the motivator. Do you like my brand with my when I come out with my hat? Do you, that's my brand. So what do you think about that?
I think it's most important. I mean, you know, when you have, you know, even in something such as stand-up comedy or whatever it is that you're putting out there to the public, it's important that they identify you or separate you from everybody else that's doing the same thing. Mm-hmm. That's what a brand does.
Yeah.
And in your case, you know, you with your attire and your sugar sandwiches and things like that, that gives you an identification. You know, so when somebody's talking about you, oh yeah, the guy that does this or wears this or does that, you know, and it just keeps you out in the public and keeps a perception or keeps in their mind exactly who you are as opposed to somebody else doing comedy.
Oh, that's awesome. Now we're gonna we're getting ready to. I know we don't have a lot of time left, but we want to go ahead since I love the title that you came up with, Fishing for Money. Now, clarify what launching out into the deep and putting your pole out there or putting your net out there kind of round that off for us in a nutshell. What are you really trying to tell everyone?
Fishing for money. First of all, fishing is the act of trying to attract and capture something. You know, so when you say fishing for money, mm-hmm. you're trying to attract and catch money.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, with regard to the scenario of fishing in the deep or whatever, you know, it's widely known the deeper you that you go, the better the catch will probably be because
yeah.
that's where the fish are.
Uh-huh.
But with regards to economics or money, you know, it's just a matter of going out there and trying different spots, just as a fisherman would, different spots to see where your catch is going to be,
yes.
to see where you're going to be able to generate that income or the fish that are out there for you. Again, with fishing, sometimes it takes time, it takes persistence, patience, you know, and all of those things, you know, the elements of a good fisherman is what it would require you to go out there and attract and to catch this money.
Wow. Oh, thank you. I mean, I don't think it could have been said more beautifully than the way you describe it, because we can't wait for things to change. We got to just step out there and change some things. And do you think if we get out of our shell, if we get out of our dilemma by making an attempt, do you think things are gradually going to change as long as we get out there and try to do something? But do you think that if we don't do anything and sit and wait for something to change, do you think something's going to happen?
Oh no, we've got to get out there and make changes. You know, sum all of this up is, you know, we've got to be creative. We've got to step outside. We've got to have faith first of all.
Yes.
You know, and then we've got to have a particular confidence in ourselves to make that step. You'll find that if you make that first step, the second step is easier, and the third step becomes easier because you acquire more confidence.
Yes.
You know, it's just like faith. Faith is something that's built,
yes.
So is confidence.
Mm-hmm.
So you just have to get that first initial step, and then that will generate your ability to acquire the things that you want. Mr. Margaret, I just want to thank you for the opportunity to be on this and share my scenarios with you, and I appreciate you and I love you.
Well, hey, I just want to thank you for being a guest on the show here on the broadcast with us, and you've been just a phenomenal guest, and thank you for clarifying things and helping us to see the vision. And I've been inspired by you today, and I believe that the people who tune into the broadcast will be inspired to step out, cast their pole, get that hook into the water, and pull in some fish. Well, it looks like we're out of time, folks. But again, this is Mr. Motivator. I want to thank you for tuning in to our broadcast. We'll be with you the same time, same place on next Saturday. Remember this, folks. Success is yours. If you dare to dream and keep thinking big, you will discover your purpose in life. Have a great week. And look here. Get your pole. Get you some bait. And cast your hook into the water. And watch what that dream is going to do for you. Have a great week, folks. This is Mr. Motivator. We love you. We'll see you on our next broadcast. Thanks.